Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6 is an awful chapter in the Bible, but I want to encourage all of y'all, it don't pertain to y'all if you've been saved. If you haven't been saved, you might find yourself into this. But the way things are in our world today. Last Sunday we talked a little bit from the first five chapters of the book of Revelation. And we saw how John was told 12 times to write down the book of Revelation and send it to the seven churches in Asia Minor. As a result of that, we have the book of Revelation today that lets us know what God has planned for the future. What's in the book of Revelation? Beginning at chapter 4, none of that has transpired yet. It's all future on God's calendar. We're right now in chapter 3. Of the book of Revelation, because we're the church and the church age. After the church has been raptured, which could happen at any second, there's nothing says that it couldn't happen today, then chapter 6 will start. And it'll start what we know today is the seven-year tribulation. Once the Antichrist rides out and makes a peace deal with Israel, when they sign that covenant, the tribulation will begin. Of course, he hasn't rid out yet. He's not been revealed. There's a good and a possibility he's alive now and ready to be revealed at any day, because he's Satan's man. Now, the devil don't ever know when God's going to rapture the church, so he's always probably had to have somebody ready. So he's probably got the man ready today. And so we're going to be studying today in the book of Revelation chapter 7. I said 7, I meant chapter 6. And when I saw the Lamb, Jesus says, or John writes, when I saw the Lamb open one of the seals, I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, suggesting judgment, church. One of the four beasts come and say, come and see. And I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. John has seen Jesus take a seven seal book out of the right hand of God in chapter 5. And he saw Jesus now open up one of those seals of that seven seal book. And when he opened that seal, he saw this white horse ride out with a rider, with a bow, but he didn't have any arrows, suggesting there is going to ride out after the rapture of the church, the one we know as the Antichrist, And the world is going to be in confusion. There's going to be terror everywhere. People's going to be scared to death. They don't know what in the world to do. Their loved ones are gone. They can't find their people nowhere. What in the world has happened? And he's going to come out and tell some lie, and everybody's going to believe it and accept him. And he's going to be the one world ruler of the end times, Satan's man, and the most wicked man to ever live. Now, you may have known and heard of some mean men, but this will cap them all. This one will be the most wicked man to ever be. But he won't really show his cards until the middle of the tribulation time. That's when he really shows his act. And so I just want to, you as our people here today, make sure you're saved and you won't see him or know anything about him other than what we tell you and others tell you, because he won't be involved in our lives at all. So you don't have to be afraid of the Antichrist and the tribulation. We believe we'll be raptured to be with the Lord. Now, this prophecy is for the future, like I said. Keep that in mind. But once the rapture happens, all this is set and leaves us out and leaves everybody else here. And that'll be most people. Most people will be left behind. There's an estimated maybe 30 million people might be raptured. Maybe 30 million. They might be more than that. I don't know. But there's not going to be a whole lot of people raptured out, according to 8 billion in the world, because most people are lost. They're not receiving the Word of God. Millions of people are going to die when these four horsemen ride out that we're going to be talking about today. Most people are going to be dying. In fact, I've said before, every unsaved person over the 7-year tribulation time, every unsaved person will die during that 7-year period of time. There won't be any unsaved people to escape. God's getting rid of all his enemies and the enemies of his people for what they did to his people and the way they've treated his people. God don't like to judge, but now it's time for judgment. He's put off judgment. He's put off judgment. We wonder, why is God letting our leaders do like they've been doing for years now? And they don't get caught. They don't pay the price. And they just mistreat other people. The law don't pertain to that. Hey, God just giving them time. But they're going to run out of time. God don't like to judge, but he's going to judge. He's going to judge. So, we see this rider on a white horse ride out with a bow and no arrows. It's not Jesus, it's the Antichrist. He's an imitator. Don't forget that. He's an imitator. This is Satan's man. He's the deceiver. He's a false Messiah who will eventually demand you fall down and worship him. And if you don't, that'll be the end. When he first comes on the scene, he'll be the smoothest talking dude you've ever heard about when the world hears him. He'll be a slick talker, a smooth talker. He'll be the nicest guy in town. Everybody's going to like him. Everybody's going to like him. When the world's in chaos, people missing, people can't find their loved ones, he's going to come and tell a lie. They're going to finally believe. You know, here lately we've heard a lot about the flying saucers and stuff like that. You see, they might even use that. That's what happened to us. These aliens come got us. Amen. But I want to tell you what Jesus said when he was here in John 5:43. This explains it. Jesus said, I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. He said that to the Jews. I come from my Father, and you wouldn't accept me. If another shall come in his own name, him you will receive. So the world's going to receive the Antichrist, and they're going to be glad to receive him. The world's going to be in such a chaotic state, they're going to look for someone to try to straighten everything out, get everything back where everybody can live again. And so they just going to accept him and be glad to accept him. The world is looking for somebody like that right now. There's a talk about that right now. We need someone to come along that would head up a one world government. You'll keep hearing that phrase, come along. And we're headed that way. A one world government, one world religion, one world currency. All that's in the works right now. And it's coming. The Antichrist will rise to power with the aid of the false prophet. And many down through the years have thought the false prophet would be the Pope. We don't know that to be fact or truth. But he'll be a religious dude, whoever he is. And the Pope would be ideal because he's the head of the biggest religious organization in the world and would fit the job precisely, and especially because what he believes. But we don't know that to be the truth about him. But it'll be somebody that's religious. This satanic trinity will be Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. You know, there's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Well, Satan's got his trinity. Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet. So he tries to emulate everything God does. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. And boy, people eat it up. People eat it up. During the middle of the tribulation, this Antichrist is going to go to the temple in Jerusalem that's been rebuilt and put an idol there. And demanded everybody worship him. He wants to be worshiped. Because Satan's going to be living in the Antichrist. Isn't that something? He's going to be so wicked. It's because Satan's in him. And he has control of him. He's going to demand to be worshipped. And if people don't worship him, take his mark, then they can't buy, sell, go to the doctor, get medicine. And here's what's going to happen. People are going to have to starve to death. Because the people that won't take his mark will be believers. And believers know if they take... Anybody that takes his mark know they're automatically doomed to the lake of fire. No other alternative. So that's the Antichrist. I don't have time to linger on it because we got to move on to these others that cause our attention. Let's look at the next seal. the next rider on the red horse. In verse 4, there went out another horse that was red. Remember, the first horse was white. This one is red. Power was given to him that sat on it to take peace from the earth. The Antichrist had brought peace about. He got peace organized after all the turmoil about the rapture and all that was going on with that. And now all of a sudden, here goes Jesus opens up another seal, and the Bible says that a red horse goes out, and power is given to him to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. So now, all of a sudden, everything's changing in the world. Although the Antichrist is in charge, apparently different nations will want more territory. They'll not be satisfied. There's all kind of things going to be going on during that time. Let's remember, at this time, the Holy Spirit has been removed out of the world. When the church was moved out, the Holy Spirit was a restrainer. Now the Holy Spirit's gone, so all this evil is going to start coming in. And this red horse comes out signifying war. Now we today are seeing over in the Ukraine all the war that's going on over there and how horrible all that is with all the weapons. Well, can you imagine how it's going to be when the church is moved out, the restrainer is gone, and all these nations with nuclear bombs and all these different weapons of war that they've got today, tanks, planes, bombs, chemical weapons. Folks, it's going to be a war zone in this world. It's going to be a fearful time. Jesus said never been a time this bad in the world. And that's going to be brought out when this red horse goes out and peace is taken from the world and there is war everywhere and destruction everywhere. And people are losing their lives all over the place. Think of the wars today with the bombs and the missiles and the nuclear weapons and the chemicals and the tanks. And at the same time, think about this. Let me add this. There'll be a roving band of robbers coming around. And murderers and lawlessness everywhere. Because there's not going to be any law. It's just going to be chaos in this world. It's going to be horrible, folks. And Jesus has told John to write this down and warn people. And all over the world, this will be going on. People being killed. People being living in terror. And it's going to get worse. Let's look at another in verse 5 of chapter 6 of Revelation. The rider on the black horse. Look down at verse 5 in chapter 6. When he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld in a black horse. First we've seen a white horse. Then a red horse. Now a black horse, and each one gets worse. A black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hands. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts saying, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny. And see, you hurt not the oil and the wine." Here a while back, we saw some empty shelves down at Walmart's and the grocery stores. When this black rider rides out on his horse, you're going to not only see empty shelves, you're going to see the stores closed. Not going to be any food. Can't get things to eat. And what little bit there is, you think is high priced today? If they bought a loaf of bread yesterday, the kind she likes, it was $4 for a loaf of bread, folks. I remember when bread was 29 cents. 29 cents! And she paid $4 for that loaf of bread she got yesterday, the kind she wanted. It'll get higher than that during this time. You know how high it's going to get? Did a person work all day long to make enough money to buy food for themselves? Work all day long to get enough food for yourself. That's kind of high price. Say, hey, by the way, you might not combine any food to buy, though. I'm talking about it's going to get rough, folks. I'm glad the church is going to be raptured. Amen? Aren't you glad you're saved? Amen? Amen. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. That's all I'm doing. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And it could happen. It could start any time. All it's got to happen for us to get out. The trumpet to sound, we be gone. And then everything will start to fall in place. Start to fall in place. At first, they're going to be tickled we're gone. They're going to be tickled we're gone. But they won't be tickled long. Amen? Yeah. Life's going to be horrible. Farmers won't be able to raise crops. Think about that. They can't raise crops with bombs falling. Can't raise crops when you can't get gas. It's going to get rough in this world, folks. Why? Because God's fed up with sin and sinners that won't accept Him and His Son that He let die on a cross for their sin. And now judgment's coming. And He has promised it for all these millennials, and people haven't got ready. People haven't got ready. Listen to people today who blame God for the hurricanes, the tornadoes, the fires, the plagues. They blame God. Yeah. You know what? Actually, God's warning people with them. He's actually warning them. You better straighten up. Yeah, but under the black horse, food will be so scarce. Food will be so scarce. And what is available will be so high that only the millionaires can buy it. Gonna be bad. Let's look at another horse. We've seen three horses. Now let's look at the rider on the pale horse. Beginning in verse 6 of chapter 6, verse 7, when he had opened the fourth seal on this scroll, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and a pale horse, and his name that sat on him, it was Death. The rider's name was Death. And hell followed with him. The word hell there should be translated Hades, which basically means the same thing. Listen to me. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and with the beast of the earth. Listen to the ways people's going to be killed during that time. And you know how many people's going to die when he rides out? Well, there's about 8 billion people in the world today. So that means there'd be close to 2 billion people die when this horse rides out. That's a lot of people died. I don't believe the funeral home can handle that, y'all. I think Revels will be overloaded and Locklear and Biggs. Yeah, it's going to be an awful stinking time, folks, when all the death of people, human, rotten in humans. Think of all the disease. It's going to be a bad time to be living. I don't believe nobody will be on vacation back then, y'all. No, I don't think people want to go to Bahamas then, maybe. Nor the Caribbean. It's going to be a rough time, folks. God means business about this sin problem of man. People today are just enjoying their sin. They're just loving their sin. They're just thinking their sin is not bothering nobody. It's bothering God. It's bothering God. He hates sin. Yeah. This sickly-looking horse whose name is Death and Hell followed him, and a fourth of the world's population, nearly 2 billion people, will be killed when this one horse rides out. And you know what? Listen to me. He said he'd be killed. He also said something else. He said they'd fall into hell too, didn't it? See, as they die, you know where they go? They go to torment right then. When people die lost, they go to torment right then. There's no delay. There's no delay. It's right then. You either die and wake up in heaven saved, or you die in hell, torment. And you made the choice. You made the choice. Can't blame nobody else. Can't blame the preacher. Can't blame nobody. In some ways, you can blame your parents for not teaching you. You can blame the preachers that don't preach the gospel. But basically, you can't blame nobody but yourself, because you walk down the road, and you've seen the churches, you've seen the Bibles, and all this, that, the other. So people don't really have no excuse. Don't have no excuse. I'm just telling you what's going to come, folks. It's on the way. And what's so true is it's very near on the way, I'm a-thinking. People will die by the sword when this rider rides out named Death. They'll die by shootings, by hunger, by death. Some of them will die because they're scared to death. They'll be having heart attacks. Can't stand it. And here's another way a lot of people's going to die. Wild animals, or the animals that'll be searching for food, will be killing people to have something to eat. Going to be awful, church. You want to be here? No, we don't want to be here. We want to be in the arms of Jesus, amen, praising him, worshiping him, and we're going to enjoy him forever and forever, church. We really are. Well, let's look at something else. Let's look at the fifth seal. In the fifth seal, the Bible tells us in verse 9, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God." Listen to that, church. The believers that will be killed during the tribulation time can't be numbered. There'll be that many believers killed because they'll be unwanted. They'll be unwanted. And this verse here says that I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice. Listen, they're conscious. They're conscious. And they said, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? See, them people on the earth had killed them. The forces of the Antichrist had killed all these believers. They're not Christians, they're believers. Christians are only in the church age. Other ages, they're saints or believers. But in the church age, we are Christians, Christ followers. But here, they want God to avenge them because they had been killed. These people took their lives. Isn't that pitiful? And the Bible says in verse 11, white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season. Listen to this next statement. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. These are crying for justice, and they're told, just be patient. There's some more of your brothers got to be killed. Believers will all be killed, just about all of them, during the tribulation. There's going to be a few survivors there at the end, but not a whole lot. Not a whole lot. Because of the Antichrist forces that hates believers in Jesus Christ, folks. And these martyrs, their soul is resting under the altar. I don't understand all that. I'll be honest. And I've never read anybody that could explain to me all of that, their soul under the altar resting. But nevertheless, they're conscious. They're clothed with white garments, denoting the righteousness of the Lord. And they're there wanting justice to be carried out on those that took their lives. And you know what? It won't be long before justice will be carried out on them. Because God is going to deal with every one of them at some point. And no one will escape the all-seeing eye of God and the all-knowing mind of God of what's happening to his people. So these souls under the altar have been killed or not part of the church. They're tribulation saints, saints of the Lord. And when we get over to chapter 7, I believe it is, we'll find out how they got saved. Because God's going to have 144,000 Jews who will be saved and be evangelists, kind of like a Billy Graham, 144,000 of them, going all over the world, and they won't be killed. Every one of them will survive. They'll be protected by God so they can preach the gospel so people can be saved during the tribulation time. God always has a witness, folks, because God wants people to know about his grace and his salvation. God's a good God, folks. He wants everybody to be saved. The problem is a lot of folks just not interested in salvation. Somehow or other, the devil just deceives people. And he's got a million ways to do that. The devil's got a million ways to deceive people. Not just one way. I mean, from the point is that there's no God, or to God don't love you, you know, or that when you die, that's it. I mean, the devil's just got all kind of ways to get people to just don't do anything about their soul and the salvation every soul needs. Or the devil's told you at some point in your life you didn't need to get saved. Yeah, he told you that when you were growing up. And he told you, hey, you can wait the next Sunday. Yeah, that's the way the devil operates, folks. He's a liar, though, amen? He's a liar. Well, let's look at the last one we want to talk about today, the sixth seal. In the sixth seal, Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. Boy, and I tell you what, this is terrible, folks. And he says, I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal. Jesus is opening these seals now. And every time he opens one, you see destruction on the earth. And what we have is, and what I'm sharing with y'all today, see, God already knows what all is going to happen in the future. God knows the end in the beginning. And that's the reason he's told John what's going to happen in the future. So this hasn't happened yet, but it's going to happen just like this. It's going to happen just like this. And so he says, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. This earthquake is so bad, will cause so much dust and particles, it is probably going to blot out the sun and even the stars. This earthquake will be the mother of all earthquakes. Never been one like this earthquake. And he'll describe it as we read here. He said that the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she shaketh of a mighty wind. Let me add something here that I hadn't added. John is writing down in a vocabulary of his day, of seeing things the way he saw things and knew things in his day. He didn't see our day. He didn't know what an airplane was. He didn't know what a bomb was. He didn't know what a tank was. They didn't know stuff. He just used in general terms to express how awful it's going to be. And when he says he saw the stars fall, you know what this could be? These satellites and things that people like China and Russia, maybe even us too, has got up yonder with nuclear weapons on them. They can be shot down from them satellites on different cities and places. That might have been what he was seeing. But it's going to be what we are seeing today, like in Ukraine with the bombs, the tanks, and modern warfare today. This is what John is describing, but he don't know how to do it in our terms. Can y'all understand that? He's had to use his terms. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. Verse 13, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Folks, we got so many, and the nations of the world today, I think there's 27 nations now with nuclear weapons or almost nuclear, 27. And most of those are enemies of our country. And when they go to shooting all those things during the tribulation time, folks, it's going to be awful in this world. And all the radiation from nuclear weapons and biological weapons and chemical weapons, Is there any wonder Jesus said it'll be the worst time in human history? It's going to be the worst time in human history. And the Bible says, look at verse 14 in your Bible. And the heaven departed as a scroll. When an atom bomb explodes, it just rolls the atmosphere back. And then when they say when that comes rushing back in, that's when the destruction takes place. And when all these are going off during the tribulation time, the heavens depart as a scroll. And when it is rolled together, every mountain and island were moved out of their places. When the heaven came back, it moved every mountain in the earth, on the earth. It moved all the islands. Think about what devastation is going to shake this earth, folks. What caused this earthquake? Probably all these nuclear weapons may be going off, added to it. It's just going to be awful, awful. Let's see how people react now. He's going to tell you how people react. Look at verse 15 in your Bible. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captain and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountain. They're trying to hide from the Lord, folks. Folks, you can't hide from God. Did you know that? You ever remember when you were little, you jumped in bed and threw the cover over your head to hide from the booger man? You remember that? You remember that? Yeah, Kim's done that. I see her grinning back there. Yeah, you go hide yourself under the cover, you know. Hey, you can't hide from God, folks. And here's all these, listen, this is the important people in the world. Hey, this is the elite crowd, the one with all the power, the ones that's ruined people's lives. They're hiding. And listen what they said. And they said to the mountains and the rocks, they said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne. They knew what was happening to them. They knew who was causing this. And they wouldn't ask for mercy, folks. You see what sin has did to the human heart? That's what sin's done to these people. Their sin is so hard, so callous. Remember the Pharaoh of long ago, how he just wouldn't repent. And Nebuchadnezzar had to eat grass like a cow for 7 years before he get to the place. The human heart is something else, folks. That's what sin does. That's why people need to hear the gospel when they're just like them little things right there. They need to be in church from the day they were born. And you can't bring them too many times. And they need somebody teaching them in a class that knows the Lord every Sunday. And that's what's wrong with our country today. That didn't happen. Families hadn't took their children to church. And a lot of them took them to churches that didn't teach them nothing. I'm just telling you the truth. Just telling you it's true. Yeah, the Bible says they were praying to the rocks and the mountains to fall on us rather than praying to the Lord. And they said, hide us from the face of him sitting on the throne. They knew Jesus was causing this, and they wouldn't bow to Jesus. Let me tell y'all something. Y'all going to listen? They are going to bow. The Bible says every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. One day everybody's going to confess. They might say they ain't going to. They are going to. They are going one day acknowledge He is the Lord. And they said, hide us from the face of Him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They even knew it was the wrath of the Lamb, church. And the Bible says, for the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Nobody that don't know the Lord can stand. And only the people that know the Lord can stand. And that is only by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Now I've hastened through this chapter, give you highlights of it. But it's worse than I told you. That's all I can tell you. It's going to be worse than I told you. And it could happen very shortly. All that needs to happen, as I said, the rapture to snatch us out and everything be set in place. Amen. Then over the course of the next 7 years, all this destruction that God has told us about in His Word will take place. Now, remember, Jesus died so that all of these people could be saved. Did y'all hear what I just said? Jesus Christ died on the cross 2,000 years so all these people could be saved that I just told y'all about is going to be lost. I want to ask this question to you today. Why do people reject salvation? Why do people don't want to get saved? You ever think about that? Why don't people want to be saved? I guarantee you, if someone was out in the lake drowning, they'd want someone to save them. But why don't people want their soul saved, church? This shows us the power of Satan to deceive people. It shows us the power of sin in the human heart too. I don't need to be saved. Some people think that. I don't need to be saved. See, that's how Satan deceived them. This is why children need to be raised in a Christian environment, where mom and dad loves the Lord. And the only way you can really love your children is to bring them to church. They need to be taken to a Bible church on top of that. We may not be the greatest church in the world, but we're at least, we use the Bible out here. Amen. And they need to be in schools where there are morals that are taught. And we don't have that in the public school no more. Our public schools are rotten. They're ruining the children with what they're being taught nowadays. The psalmist said in 2:1-5, I can't leave you without this verse. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord. They're planning against the Lord. Same thing is going on today in America. And against His anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Get rid of the Bible. Get rid of Jesus. Get rid of them believers. But he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. The Lord's going to be sitting up in heaven laughing at them, folks, while they're in their pitiful condition. And he might be saying, I told you so. I told you so. Church, I'm telling y'all the truth today. I'm telling y'all the truth today. There's a God in heaven whose son died for us so we could know him, love him, serve him, be with him. But he wants us now to share him. And that's what we're trying to do with what he gives us. Because God loves every one of these people. He loves every one of them. And Jesus Christ died for every one of them. But in the end, he's going to laugh at them. He said, y'all plotted against me. You wouldn't listen to me. According to the Bible that I'm just reading, he that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. Because God is. And he means what he says. Loving God, take your word to your people today. Encourage them, challenge them, bless them. Help us to be stronger in the Lord and a better witness of the Lord. For the glory of the Lord and the well-being of our fellow man that's lost in sin. Open doors for us to share, Lord, as it would please you. And give us strength and energy to serve such a great, wonderful God and Savior. Because it is our delight, O God. Thank you. And bless our people. We love our people, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Encourage them, Lord. Make them useful in your hand, Lord, for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. May God bless. Our altar's always open to come and talk to the Lord. Come and pour your heart out to the Lord. Bring your problems to the Lord, your concerns to the Lord. You see, what we have in our world today is because we took prayer out of school, we took the Bible out of school, we took the Ten Commandments from the schools and the public places.